So the idea behind Sync is simply this: you were created with Bluetooth connectivity. In other words, you're Bluetooth compatible with heaven. When God wove you together and knitted you together inside your mother's womb, he wove into your being the capability of being connected to heaven, being connected to the Almighty, being connected to God. Life is not supposed to be lived on two levels. There's a heaven level and an earth level, and we're down here muddling our way along, and God is up there seeing the big picture. No, we're supposed to walk on earth connected to the God who put us on earth and is calling us to live a heavenly life on earth until he actually, literally leads us home to heaven. And you have that possibility and that potential in you because of creation. It really isn't about whether or not you were born into a church family or raised up in the church. You got that Bluetooth connectivity at birth because you were born and created in the image of the Almighty God. But just like a Bluetooth device, you have to be paired to your Creator. So you can't just get in your phone and say, well, I've got a Bluetooth phone and my new car's got Bluetooth in it, and so, hey, I can play my tunes inside my car wirelessly, seamlessly, amazingly. No, you've got to pair your phone. And so you go through that process of setting it up, and your car has a little device and it starts looking for other Bluetooth devices, and it finds some normally, and there are some random ones, maybe yours, and the guy with the cell phone next door finds his as well. And you're like, no, we want to pair to this phone, or from this phone to this car. And then when you hit the pair sync button, they start talking to each other. Normally a code goes back and forth. Has anybody done this before? Little code comes, 3475, type that into your phone right now, or put that into your car right now. And then they establish a connection together. And so what we're trying to say in these 2 weeks is that A, God made you for a connection with him, and the way that you establish that connection initially is through faith in Jesus, in a relationship with him, whereby you become a child of the living God in a brand new relationship on earth, walking on earth, son, a daughter of God, with the ability to know him and relate to him all the days of your life. But then secondly, we've said that we have to refresh that connection. That doesn't mean you get saved all over again. It just means that you resync again, because sometimes when I get in my car, I've turned Bluetooth off on my phone, or somehow the connection got all jangled up and I've got to reconnect or resync so that I can enjoy the benefit of that connection. And in this series, we're talking about resyncing heart and heaven. Why? Because a lot of people say something like this. They say, you know what? I believe in God, but I don't feel close to God. I believe that there is a God, but right now in my life, I can't feel him anywhere or see him anywhere on the landscape. Sometimes you hear people say things like, I'm not doubting God. It just seems like he's a million miles away from me right now. Or maybe the other side of that, it feels like I'm a million miles away from him right now. And what we're saying in these few weeks, I love it, because it's not like looking for a needle in the mystical haystack. It's very simple and practical. There are some things that you can do to reestablish your connectivity with God and to reestablish your heart's connection with heaven. You can resync by doing some simple things. Five of them we're going to talk about today. We talked about one last week. And just to catch us all up, because I know a lot of different people roll in to Passion City Church every single week, we're not talking about things that you do to become a follower of Jesus, to be born again in a brand new relationship with faith. We're talking about things that you do once you are a follower of Jesus to keep that connection strong between you and heaven. We don't become a Christian by doing things. Can we just underscore that today? You don't become a child of God by doing things, but once you are a child of God, can we underscore this also? There are things that you want to do because you are a child of God. It's not either or, it's both and, but I want to make sure that you don't walk away today and go, man, if I do all these five things, God will like me more or love me more or forgive me more, or maybe I'll become a Christian or have a better shot at getting into heaven if I do these five things. No, that's not what we're talking about today. You get your shot with God because Christ took a chance on you. He gave his life in your place so that you can be forgiven and free, and that's how you get your chance with God. The way that Paul wrote it in Galatians, he says both sides of this equation. In chapter 2, verse 16, he said, know that a man is not justified by observing the law, but by faith in Jesus Christ. So you're not going to get justified by doing these things that we talk about today. That happens by faith in Christ. So we too have put our faith in Christ Jesus, that we may be justified by faith in Christ and not, can we say that? And not by observing the law, because by observing the law, no one will be justified. This morning at 9:30, people put their faith in Jesus and were saved and began a brand new relationship with him. Wednesday night, in this room where you're sitting, amongst all other manner of craziness that was happening here, like Krispy Kreme donuts strung up between poles in the main hallway that I'm assuming people ate off of there with their mouths and not their hands. In the back was a slip and slide into a big water thing and something like 10,000 water balloons. And there's craziness happening all around Wednesday night at the Rising. And in the middle of all of that, 30-something young people put their faith in Jesus Christ and went from death to life spiritually because of the work that Jesus has already done in their lives. We are justified with God by faith in Christ. But once we put faith in Christ, we want to work that out in our lives. And so people say, well, I don't want to fall into legalism and I don't want to be about, you know, having to do things for God. Look, legalism says if you do all these things, you might get saved. Grace says you are saved by faith, therefore get busy working out the beauty of what God has deposited into your life by faith. And so just a few chapters later, the same Paul in the same letter is writing in chapter 6, don't be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. The one who sows to please his sinful nature, from that nature will reap destruction. But the one who sows to please the Spirit, from the Spirit will reap eternal life. Therefore, he goes on to say, let us not become weary in doing good. For at the proper time, we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. I love that line. Let us not become weary in doing good. So how do you get right with God? Faith. Simple. You can't do anything to get right with God. But being right with God leads you to want to sow into the field where God is working, so that from the field where God is working, you can reap a benefit in your life. Our key text today is found in Psalm 81, a verse which really has sort of been a key verse for me and for my life in 2017. And I hope it maybe could even become a key verse for you if you don't already have one for your life in 2017. It's not too late. We're still in the month of April, and the promise of Psalm 81 is amazing. A little background. Last week, if you were here, we talked about the book of Jeremiah, specifically, call unto me and I will answer you and show you great and mighty things that you don't know. The bedrock verse of Jeremiah, I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans for good and not for evil. Not to harm you, but to give you a hope and to give you a future. But Jeremiah's message, the prophet Jeremiah's message in the Old Testament, was written to people who didn't want to hear it. It was that either or. God wants to bless you, but you won't let him bless you. God wants to lead you, but you don't want to let him lead you. God wants to prosper you, but you're determined to not let God prosper prosper you. But the overarching message of Jeremiah, even if you don't let him prosper you, he's still going to find a way to put mercy and grace in the story and bring you back to him. And Psalm 81 is a little microcosm of the whole book of Jeremiah. It's an either or. It's your choice. It's my choice today. It's your call today. You can either say yes to God wanting to bless you, or you can say, not really interested right now. Amazing, right? Imagine that you and I have that kind of potential and power in our choosing today, in our will today, to either let God do what he wants to do in our lives, or to push God to the fringes of our lives and to try to keep doing it our own way. And he comes with this beautiful invitation in verse 10. He reminds us, he says, I am the Lord your God who brought you up out of Egypt. Now you would think that he would never have to say that again to the people of God. You would think that would be one of those footnote phrases that you're like, God, you can stop saying that because we know who you are. We were trapped in bondage. We were dead in the water, but you sent a man and put on him your power. And by your divine acts, you led us out of bondage into a place of promise. We will never forget that. We will never forget you. We will never doubt you. We will never stray from you. You are the God who brought us up out of Egypt. But time and time again, they forgot. And so over and over and over again, God reminds them and he sets up his promises with his person. And he says, oh, by the way, before I make this promise, let me remind you who I am. I'm the God who brought you up out of Egypt. And he's doing that today. He's saying, before we get to this promise in the next line, let me just remind you, I'm the God who gave my son to ransom you from your wrongs and to bring you from death to life. I'm that God. And now having established that, here's what I would like to do for you. He says, I'm the Lord your God who brought you up out of Egypt. Open wide your mouth that I will fill it. Open wide your mouth and I will fill it. The New Living Translation adds a few words at the end, which I love. I will fill it with good things. Open wide your life. Open wide your heart. Open wide your mouth and I will fill your life, fill your mind, fill your heart. I'll fill it up with good things if you'll just open it up to me. Are there any parents in the house today? Any parents here who had a baby in a high chair that you just were pulling your hair out because you had to get nourishment into that child's mouth? Anybody here been down that road? Anybody done the airplane thing with the spoon? Anybody here done that? Did it work? Somewhat. But the reason why it didn't work is because you had mashed peas on the spoon. They were so gross that you were holding your breath while you were feeding them to your child. No human with rational thought and the ability to choose has ever gone down a grocery store aisle and said, man, I'm just going to get a jar of those mashed peas because when I was feeding those to Junior, it was pretty amazing and I'm going to get some of those for my lunch snack today. You've never seen somebody in the cubicle next to you unless they were on really hard times pop open one of those Gerber jars and enjoy a lovely lunch of mango puree. Never. But boy, you're telling, you know, little Abigail that, you know, the plane of wonder is coming to land and here it all comes. And Abigail's telling you, good luck. Good luck and God bless you because I'm going to give you an opening about the size of a molecule. And in between the violent head shakes from left to right and the up and the down, and I know your moods and I know how to juke and you think I'm going left, but this time I'm going right. There's a tiny sliver and a really good mom or dad can say, I see an opening and it might be small, but bam, the spoon goes in and the food is delivered. Now, granted, a lot of the time, and I don't have a lot of personal experience here, but a lot of time, most of the mashed peas are on the child's face and bib and the tray of the high chair and on the parent. And smaller amounts are in unless the child can do what? open wide. And you can get some pureed vegetables in a little opening, and God can get a little goodness into your life. But if you will open wide your mouth, He will fill it with what is good. And all we're really trying to do in these few weeks is rethink, reestablish connection. And part of the way we reestablish connection is just by stopping this. You know? Or by saying, God, I'll give you an eyedropper full of an opportunity. And we just say to God, you are the God who brings us back to life from the dead. So I'm going to give you the chance to pour into my life. And to do that, we've been talking about five simple things. Now, if you can't do all five of these today, trust me, this is not like a on the grade system, so somebody's gonna check your work at the end of the week. If you can step anywhere into the process today, God's gonna honor that. Some of you want more than five. You're disappointed, and when we get to the end of the five, you're gonna go, is that it? Because I go to CrossFit and I carry, you know, tractor tires around on my shoulders up Stone Mountain, and you know, what is that what you got, five things? Are you kidding me? Well, look, if you carry tractor tires up Stone Mountain, God bless you. That's phenomenal and amazing. Now, when your knees wear out, we'll still love you and push you around a wheelchair at Passion City Church. But that's incredible. So you just put them all on steroids and turn them into 55 things. Just put times 10 on the end of everything we talk about today. But here's the reality. Most people here today need to take a step toward the Almighty. Most people here today need to believe that God wants them to take a step towards Him. Most people need to believe that heaven's even listening to them, that heaven even sees them, that they're still on heaven's radar, that there still is the possibility of connectivity with God. So I'm just inviting you to take a step. Take any step. Say, I can't do five, but I'll do one. Do one. I can't do all of them, but I'll do three of them. Do three of them. Anything you do is going to help resync your heart. So maybe at the end of 31 days, which is where we're going together, you'll say, you know what? God seems closer, maybe not an inch away, but definitely not a million miles away. I seem more aware of God. Maybe it's not like we're best friends, but He's definitely in the framework of my day. And I believe it will happen for you if you'll open wide your mouth. I didn't make that promise. He made that promise. I didn't bring you up out of Egypt. He brought you up out of Egypt. And if you'll open your mouth as wide as you'll open it, He will fill it to the degree that you ask Him to do that. The first thing we talked about last week is engaging with the Word of God. We spent the whole message on it last week. I won't go back there again, but we're doing it through the Gospel of Mark, and we're doing a SOAP together. That's scripture, observation, application, and prayer. And if you didn't start with us last week, you can start with us this week. You just text scripture to 99000630. You're gonna get that text. By the way, you can turn off your notification and silence that particular number if you don't want your phone to buzz at 6:30 every morning, and you'll still get the text. You just won't get the wake up unless you're already up at that time, carrying your tire up Stone Mountain, and that's just your halfway up the mountain encouragement. Oh, Passion City's texting me, that's amazing. But scripture, observation, application, prayer, it's about 20 verses a day, and in 31 days, we'll do the whole Gospel of Mark. Do you know most people haven't read a whole gospel from beginning to end? Most people haven't read the scripture every day for 31 days. And so it's a simple step in. It's a simple opt-in. This is God's breath on a page. And if you want to meet Him, tell Him that every day. As you show up to the Gospel of Mark, you're just looking for one primary observation that God seems to raise up to the surface of your life. Write it in your journal, text it to your friend, and if you're not on the journey already, you can start today. You've missed a couple of chapters, but you know, the beautiful thing about Mark is Jesus is gonna go to some more towns. He's gonna do some more supernatural work. He's gonna teach some more people about the kingdom of God. He's gonna announce more about the work that he's come to do. And at the end, spoiler alert, he's gonna die on a cross for the sins of the world and be raised from the dead on the third day by the power of God and send you out into the world with the hope of that message. So if you missed chapters 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, and 7, gonna catch you back up. If you wanna get right on it, then just start today at chapter 1, and you can go to our website, passioncitychurch.com /sync/maybe, and you can find the whole 31-day reading plan right there. Jump in with us, and it's going to be an amazing journey. Second thing I want to encourage you to do is to be consistent in prayer. Second way to resync with heaven is to become consistent in prayer. Prayer is the thing we talk about the most, but we do the least. I say it to people all the time, we'll pray for you. But that's not actually praying for someone, you know, when you say, we'll pray for you. You know, telling somebody, we'll be sure to be lifting you up. Will we be sure to be lifting them up? Or was that the lifting them up? And so should we just say, let's just pray right now, because I'm not gonna pray for you later. So instead of telling you I'm gonna pray for you, let's just pray right here, because that's what you're gonna get. Okay, so that's a good step, right? You know what, I started adding to the back of that, I would walk away and I would say, Holy Spirit, I just made a big promise there. Will you remind me in an obvious way to pray for them? And man, the Holy Spirit's like, man, I'm real good at that. And so you'll be cruising through the grocery store a week later and you'll just be going down the, you know, the produce aisle, and the Holy Spirit will say, you know, you haven't prayed for them. Oh, thank you for reminding me. I'm gonna pray for them right now. Praying for people and not just telling people you're gonna pray for them is a game changer for them. It's the greatest gift you can give somebody going through a hard time is to pray for them, because God works when we pray. It's powerful. Heaven moves when we pray. And I believe personally the most powerful prayer you can pray over your own life is the prayer that you're praying over someone else's life. See, sometimes we'll say, well, I'll pray for me, but I don't know if I want to pray for them. You know, God's economy works like this. He has a tendency to do in your life whatever you're asking him to do in somebody else's life. So pray bigger prayers for your friends, because you're probably going to get some of that back in your life as well. So how are we going to pray? How are we going to do consistent prayer? Well, I'll let you take a swing at that any way you want to, but I'm going to suggest that we do noonday prayer for the next 31 days till the end of May. That means in the noon hour, take 5 minutes and pray for somebody that God puts on your heart that's going through a zone in life where they need someone like you to stand in the gap and lift them up to heaven. Noon hour, that means from 12 to 1 o'clock, 5 minutes, you pray for somebody else. And I tell you, a good way to bring this full circle is just text them and let them know you prayed for them. Not with that, you know, humble brag thing. Just want to let you know, just at lunch over here on my knees, interceding for you before God, because that's what I do. Just a little text that says, hey, just want you to know somebody's praying for you today. I know lots of people are, but I'm one of them. God sees you. God loves you. You're on heaven's radar. God, what difference would that text make to somebody? And what difference would it make to us in resyncing our hearts with heaven? 1 Thessalonians 5:16, 17, and 18 say, rejoice always. That's verse 16. You can memorize that today if you're looking for a way to get extra credit. Verse 17 says, pray continually. You can knock two verses out if you really are an overachiever. In fact, let's just do that right now. Can we just do that together? Can we just decide? Can you say this with me? Rejoice always. 1 Thessalonians 5:16, that's a lot to remember. Let's just go with rejoice always. It's in the Bible. Rejoice always. Pray continually. Do you remember the first one? But do you remember the second one? So if you said both verses together, it would be? And we'll throw in as a bonus, Jesus wept. What'd you do at church? Oh, we just memorized in the Bible. It's awesome. The third thing I want to encourage you to do, and this one is interesting, never really taught this before, but our team kind of wants to encourage us around this. Third thing is to treasure the great assembly. Now, I know that sounds kind of poetic, so let me put it down into real terms. Don't miss church for 6 weeks. Just checking it out, just checking. Some people said, but I can't walk on water. I've never walked on water. I don't know if I can walk on water. 6 weeks, like straight? Yeah, like the old days. You know, like when your mom woke you up and said, we're going to church. And you're like, but I have the measles. I know, we'll put you, leave you in the car in the parking lot. Anybody? Can I get a witness? That actually happens. Stuff like that used to happen. I don't mean in a hot summer day. I'm not trying to get crazy about it, and I'm not trying to be insensitive. I'm just saying back in the day, stuff like that happened. I want to encourage you to show up. If you're on a sports team, a classroom, a work project, a relationship, what do they say? What, 80% of it is showing up. Show up. You can make a B in almost any class you take by showing up every day and sitting on the first or second row. That's a fact. Now, if it's like, you know, not rocket science or something, but I mean, some of you go to tech, you're actually taking rocket science. I mean, you can, it works for that too, because you belong there, okay? A lot of us don't belong there, but you do, so go for it. That's amazing. But showing up is about 80% of life. And somehow we've put church in the category of, well, I'm not busy, and the weather's not great, and we're not at the lake, and I don't have a business trip, and I didn't have a big project that I had to work on Saturday, which really ate into my weekend, and on and on and on. And normally, it's like normal for a person in church to show up about twice a month. Now, this isn't for us. This is for you to open wide your mouth and ask God if he will fill it. And if you feel off the radar, a little off track, a little disconnected with heaven, I want to encourage you to show up at church for 6 weeks in a row and say to God, I'm here. I would like to hear from you if you're real. I'd like to know you if you're there. I'd like to be touched by you if you can touch someone like me and just show up. You're here today, so that's week one. So you're 1 week in. Isn't that amazing? Aren't you glad you came now? You're 1 week in. How many of you were here last week? Oh, see, you're feeling good right now. Look at those people. They're like, uh-huh. Yes, ma'am. You're 2 weeks in. We're giving you 2 weeks. You're already 2 weeks in. You just got 4 weeks to go. There's five more Sundays coming before the end of May. That gets us our 6 weeks. If you're traveling, you can find a way to work it out. Somebody says, well, Louis, I'd like to do it, but I'm going to Cleveland on business this week. Well, you know, hello, they have churches in Cleveland. Oh, I never thought about going to church while I was on a business trip. That would bust my groove, and I'd have to figure something out, and I'd have to go online, and I don't even know what church I'd go to. You would go to one online where you see the name Jesus mentioned on their website. Go through their website really fast. If you don't see anything about Jesus, just go to the next one. And if you don't see anything about Jesus on that one, go to the next one. If the picture of the people look semi-normal and they're talking about Jesus, go there. And you know what's going to happen when you go there? If you go there with an open mouth, meaning your heart, your life is open to God to say, I'm just showing up, then God's going to meet you there. You may have a story like, I went to this little church. There were like 197 people there. It was really different than Passion City Church. Guy got up to speak, opened the Bible, and God just absolutely blew the doors off of my life. And I don't think I'm ever going to be the same because of that message in that day. Hey, this isn't about the size of the building. It's not about the people on the stage. This is about the Word of God, the Spirit of God. This is about the great assembly of people, and you can meet God anywhere. You can meet him anywhere. A friend of mine said the other day, I mean, people really say this, I just like to be out with nature. I like to meet God on the golf course. I'm like, yes, you can. He's got nothing against golf courses. See, now this particular guy's gonna need to meet him before the fourth hole when he's three beers down, but at least probably on the putting green, driving range, first couple of holes, probably still in it. So the psalmist wrote it like this. He said, I proclaim your saving acts in the great assembly. Psalm 22:25, from you comes the theme of my praise in the great assembly. Before those who fear you I will fulfill my vows. In other words, this isn't just an option for me. Coming here is an anchor for me, because this isn't just like a room full of people. This is a room full of spirit-filled, Jesus-filled people. And when all of our micro Bluetooth networks get together in one macro Bluetooth network, it creates an atmosphere of praise and of power, and the presence of God is in this place. You say, well, where do you get that? Psalm 82:1, God presides in the great assembly. And then Psalm 122, someone said recently, well, I don't know about Passion City Church, it's a little weird. They don't even call it a church, they call it a house. Well, hello, I'd hate to differ, but you know, it is a house and a church all at the same time, and the psalmist got that. He said, I was glad when they said to me, let us go to the house of the Lord. And I just want to encourage you to show up for 6 weeks, mark them off, be faithful. If your family's on vacation, figure out a way. If you're out of town, figure out an option. If you're here, make it a priority. We do 9:30, we do 5, we do this middle gathering that you're at. Community groups are coming up 2 weeks from now at Passion City. Show up, just show up, fight your way there. Go through the traffic, go through the hurdle, go through the barrier, go through the obstacle, overcome whatever is telling you you don't need to do that this time, and show up and watch what God will do. If you open wide your mouth, He will fill it. The fourth one of these things is to minimize interference. Simply put, most of us are stuck on screens. TV screens, phone screens, gaming screens, computer screens, we're stuck on them. And if you're gonna connect, and I'm gonna resync with heaven, we're gonna have to minimize some of the interference in our network. We were at the Masters a few weeks ago. It's a tradition unlike any other. One of the reasons why you can't do two of the things we do all day long: you cannot take photographs at the Masters, and you cannot have your phone at the Masters. You should go, because it's an incredible experience, even if you don't like golf. It is forced withdrawal from the addiction to screens. And when you get there, no, you cannot have a phone. You're like, well, who would go to that? Tens of thousands of people are roaming around on this golf course and nobody has a phone. Well, how would you find someone? How would you stay in touch? What if there was an emergency? Well, how would you know if there was a global economic crisis? How would you not know what's being posted on your friend's Facebook page? This is ridiculous to think that we're gonna spend from 8 a.m. until 7 o'clock at night disconnected from humanity. And all of a sudden, you're standing on the fairway going, what is that noise I hear? Those are birds in the trees. Real birds. They don't sound angry. They're real birds. Wow. Amazing. That's Jordan Spieth right there. Let's get a photograph. I guess we'll just have to look at him. And it starts off being freaky. When you slide your phone under the seat in your car and lock the door, and you're like, how will we get to the entrance? Just follow the other phoneless people. But by the middle of the afternoon, you're like, I've talked to my people. I have watched the golf. I have taken in the scenery. I've even noticed pine needles on the trees. And it's peaceful and enjoyable. Some of the interference that could have gotten between you and the greatest sporting event on earth is gone. And you are able to appreciate what was right in front of you. Can you imagine how sad it would be to be walking down the back nine amen corner? He did what? Birdie? Oh, that's cool. Yeah. Look, Janet's cat. Look, isn't that amazing? Look, watch him do that backflip. Hey, crazy. That's awesome. He bogeyed? Oh, terrible. Look, watch him. Watch him go. Go, do it again. I'll do it again. Can you hear it? Man, it's amazing how much of heaven we miss by watching people's cats do backflips off the sofa. Can I get some kind of an amen? Yeah. A small, tiny amen. Okay, so here's why you have to make an adjustment and why I do. It's called dopamine. And if you haven't heard about it, you're going to hear a lot about it in coming weeks. A video I played for my team here by Simon Sinek, who's a secular leadership guy. This particular video interview has been watched millions of times. It's called Millennials in the Workplace. It's easy to find online. But he talks about this very thing, and he talks about how dopamine works in the human brain. Dopamine is a stimulating release that happens in us when things like when we gamble, when you've had a stressful meeting and you step out back for a cigarette, and you know how that feels like getting there, and now you're getting it out, and now you're outdoors, and now you know you're going to smoke it. You know what that does for you? It's just like, thank you so much, God, for this moment. It's the same thing that happens when you have sex. It's the same thing that happens when you eat a bucket of fried chicken. No kidding. It stimulates your brain, and it tells your brain, and it's a sense of euphoria that comes into our minds. You can go read all this stuff on the Dopamine Project and a lot of other places, but what happens, they fed rats bad food, high-content fatty foods, and when they fed them that over good food, the rats ate more of the bad food. They didn't know. Nobody was telling the rats, this is fried chicken, you should have another piece. They just were like, oh yeah, we can't stop eating this. Then they put blanched vegetables down there, and they're like, all right, we'll eat them if that's what we got to eat. And then they ate an appropriate amount, and that was it. And when we experience this dopamine trigger, it actually rewires our brains to want to experience it all over again. The way it says it on this side is that dopamine gives us a feeling of euphoria, like a high, when it is released in our brains. Additionally, it's what's known as a neurotransmitter. So when dopamine is released in the brain without realizing it, we're training ourselves to want to repeat whatever it was that produced the dopamine rush. And in a frenzied, harried world that's filled with all kinds of stressors, we tend to lean toward things that release dopamine in our brain to alleviate the stress that we feel. And one of those things is our screens, specifically our phones. And we are not just sort of addicted to our phones. We are actually addicted to our phones, because science now tells us when you get a like on your Instagram or a positive comment on your Facebook or somebody shares what you posted on your social media site, you actually get a hit of dopamine to your brain. When you get a text on your phone, you get a dopamine hit. When you get a notification from that app, you get a hit of dopamine. When you look on your scores and your team got the lead, you get a hit of dopamine. And it is not just a companion for our life to help navigate our lives. It has become the drug in our lives that lifts us up from the doldrums of life. And I'm telling you, if your phone goes silent, your notifications go silent, your likes go silent, the comments go silent, your texts go silent, guess what? You start having withdrawals. And some people resort to just going down their contacts and texting. Hey, what's up? Next person. Hey, what's up? Next person. Hey, what are you doing? Next person. Hey, what are you doing? Next person. Hey, how you doing? Hey, you home? You home? And now 11 texts just went out. Only one person texted you back. But the one that texted you back gave you a hit of dopamine in your brain, and you went, I'm still loved. You minimized the 10 who ignored it, but you focused on that one. So I want to encourage you to minimize the interference. I'm going to try for the next 31 days to pick a day, Thursday, and I'm going to call it Turn Down Thursday. I know there's Throwback Thursday, but I don't do that one anyway, so I'm not losing out on that. And Turn Down Thursday for me is going to be no Twitter, no Instagram, no Facebook, no unnecessary social connectivity. Yes to my friends, yes to my immediate family, yes to my coworkers and teammates, but no to the other 7.2 billion people on planet Earth that I'm gonna be okay today if I don't know what they're doing. Just turning it down. No phone by my bed on Thursdays, not charging by my bed on Thursday night. And I just gonna try to turn it down. Maybe you can't turn it down every day. Maybe you don't even wanna turn it down every day, but I do wanna remind you of this. Whatever decision you make about the screens in your life, you're not making that decision in a vacuum. There are people who understand the addictive power of what you're holding in your hand, and they are spending billions of dollars to keep you addicted to it because it is their livelihood. I've got nothing against social media. I love it, and I love trying to use it well, but Facebook's a company, people. They're a company. They don't make more money when you don't post on your Facebook page. Instagram is a company. They don't make more money when you don't use Instagram more, when they don't introduce Insta Story and Insta Video, and now you can bookmark your Instagrams and on and on and on, and it's just gonna increase and increase and increase because they know that dopamine hit has us hooked, and when we're hooked, they bank on it. And so if you decide whatever you decide about minimizing interference, just remember you're not making that decision in a vacuum. It is not you and your phone having a conversation. It's you and the people on the other side of your phone who are determined to not let you let go of your phone. And you can resync with heaven, I think, by just making a little space. Maybe if you join me on Turn Down Thursday, and I hope that you will, my FOMO will go down because I will not be afraid of missing out on as much because you won't be posting either, and we'll all be in it together. We're coming down to the wire here, but can I just give us a little turn? You know, this message is simple, it's accessible, it's practical, it's doable. But there's something on the table today. So the psalmist wrote it. I'm the Lord your God who brought you up out of Egypt. Open wide your mouth and I will fill it with good things. Next verse, very next word. But my people would not listen to me. Israel would not submit to me. So I gave them over, check it out, to their stubborn hearts to follow their own devices. Open wide your mouth and I'll fill it. Or just keep hanging out with that little comforting dopamine machine. And see where that gets you, see what peace it gives you. See what joy it brings you. See what calm it fosters inside you. Or open wide your mouth and let me fill it with what is good. But how amazing, me. My people wouldn't listen. They just didn't want to hear it. And so listen to this staggering idea. He said, I just gave them what they wanted. Okay. Do you want that relationship? Okay. I hate doing that because, God, it's going to be terrible for you. God comes to a point in our lives where he says, okay, have it. And he just gives us over. Oh, he knows we're coming back. He knows we're coming back tired, coming back broken down. We're coming back less than. And he'll be there in his grace. As long as there is time, he'll be there in his grace. But he's saying, man, choose me. I know the plans I have for you. They're plans for good and not for evil. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you a hope and to give you a future. Five, you're like, Louis left one off. It's a simple one on the end. Engage with God's word. Be consistent in prayer. Treasure the great assembly. Minimize interference. And number five, give yourself away in service to one person in the next 31 days. That's it. So what does that mean? Family that needs groceries, you go buy them. Single mom's daughter's having a birthday. She's working two jobs. She can barely make all that work. You provide the party. You show up and say, how many kids you want to take to Chuck E. Cheese, or how many kids you want to do a thing in the park. Here's the money, here's the balloons, here's a gift card to Party Central, here's what you need, here's a gift for your daughter. And I'm not trying to step in, and I'm not trying to overstep my bounds, I'm just watching a faithful mom, and I just thought maybe this would be a good encouraging way for you to know that God sees you and loves you. That person you're praying for at your noon hour prayer, I promise you, you pray for them 3 or 4 or 5 times and you know what's gonna happen. God's gonna say, those are great prayers. I need someone to answer them. And you kept saying, somebody needs to go by and give them a ride to the treatment. So would you mind going by and give them a ride? No, I'm just praying about it. I do the praying, you pick somebody else. No, when you do the praying, God typically is gonna pick you. And I promise you, some of you are on the sidelines. Somebody's always encouraging you. Somebody's always speaking into you. Somebody's always doing the extra thing for you. I promise you, if you will see yourself as a player in God's story and make yourself available, you don't have to pre-plan it. God will plan it for you. You just go live your life the next 31 days and you trust me, God is gonna say to you as clearly as I'm standing here right now, you see that situation? You're the answer to that situation. Would you mind stepping in and being my hands and feet? And you're gonna go, oh, this is the fifth thing. He's gonna go, uh-huh, let's go. And you're gonna go, okay, let's do it. And when you walk away, you're gonna feel closer to heaven than before you walked in. Because God is with us as we go. He's with us as we go. You're not gonna feel him as much if you stay than as you go. You're not gonna feel him as much if you hold than as you give. Because God is in the giving and he is in the doing. Engage with God's word every day. Consistent prayer. We're just talking about the noontime hour. A little dot on your phone. Set a notification. Send yourself an alarm. Noon every day, 31 days. Who are you praying for? Treasure the great assembly. I'm in church 6 straight weeks. Give me a plaque. Give me a pen, Louie. Give me a little thing to put on my lapel. I did it. We're going to minimize distractions and give ourselves away in service. I promise you, we're going to be resynced with heaven, people, if we'll step in. Are you ready? Are you willing? Are you interested? You feel okay about stepping in together?